B'chayrus Perek Beis Mishnah Hey. This is an same type of idea that we had by Kedushas Pidyon Petach Hamor in the first Perek. Rochel Shoyolda Kimin Eiz. Over there we had a Hamor Shoyolda Kimin Paro Paro Shoyolda Kimin Hamor. Over here is a min where it's a min of a behema tahira. A rochel is a sheep, and an eiz is like a goat. So it gave birth to something which is shtikl deformed, and it's kimin eiz. The eiz sheyolda kimin rochel potem min habachayra. If it's not doimeli imoy, the only way it could be niskadish exes akasu is this is called in halach. It's called a nidme. It's doimeli minache. The Gemara says impossible because bats and both types are roid lekedushas bechor. But the pasuk does say in Parshas Korach, "Ach b'chor shor b'chor kesef or b'chor is kodesh heim." The b'chor shor, and then speaking out kesef b'chor is, teaches us that each one has to be nemon to its min. V'myesh by miktzas simonim, if it does have some simin of the min imoy, chayiv. I'm not in the business, so I can't say exactly what the mimim are. The Gemara doesn't give exact simonim. It has some type of similarity in some way. The legs are doimed to its mothers, even though the head and the back are not. It needs a certain amount of yishtaychus to the mother. So then you're mekayim the halacha of shor kesev eiziv, etc. And it does have a shaychus. Lamaisa, it is a shtickle still deformed. It is an idmer. So memela, when the bechor will be born, kedusha it will have. However, it'll be like a balmum. The deformity creates a shame balmum, and therefore the halach is that it has the din of any behemoth that's born b'kedushas b'char, that's a balmum, that has the din of psul v'amakdashim. Mishnah Vav, Rochel shalei bikro v'yolda shnei zcharim. Rochel, a sheep that never gave birth before, so any vlad that's going to have, if it's a zochor, will have kedushas b'char. It gave birth to two zcharim, v'yotzu shnei reshem ke'echot. And the Shtei Rashem came out at once. Now remember, when we had in Perek Aleph, so there was an easy Eitzah for Sveikus, which is, if you know for sure Yechayiv, you're not sure which Behemah, so just be Poida whomsoever, whichever Behemah it is, on the Seh, and then give the Seh to the Kohen. But you don't have that option, because we're trying to figure out also which one has the din of Kodesh, which one is Roy L'Kedushas carbon, which one has din of psul v'makdashim, if and when it becomes a balmum. So over here we have an interesting case. The Mishnah puts down a case of yotze shnei reshem ke'echot. What does that create? Of course, it's mavur in the Mishnah, something that's mavur alo v'shas, that the niskadish of the behemo is when it's moitzi roshe mirechem imoy. The head being born always creates the shame later. We had a Mishnah in Chulin that spoke about this point in the fourth parak, where it's either roishoy or ruboy. This Mishnah that says roishoy is not lafuke ruboy, it's just that you're not going to have two ruboys of twin behemoths being born at once. Two roishoys is possible, physical mitzvahs. So the yotzu shnei roshen ke'echod at once, Reb Yisak l'dayim shneim lakoyin, both were born simultaneously. So they're both peterechem, shenema, has chorim, lashon rabim, lashem. There's a possibility of the behemoth being born, not only one being the Scottish b'chor, the second one's never a b'chor. No, you could have has chorim that will both be the Scottish b'chor. V'chom moimim i'efshe. They're not arguing on the concept. They say, l'maisa, that can't be pshat. It's impossible. It's impossible for two heads to come out exactly in the same millisecond. So it has to be, elo, the only real possibility is echod loy, the echod lakoyin. One of them is his, one of them is a koyin. You don't know which one. And now we're going to have a problem. What are you going to do with a behemoth? And that we'll have to figure out. What are you going to do? Now, the Chachomim's klal over here calls this idea, this machlok is really conceptual machlok. It's called efshel tzamtzem or efshel tzamtzem. It's really a shas machlok. Whenever something happens, which depends on split timing, it's toluy in the exact... which is the first, which is the second. To say that two happened exactly at the same millisecond, millisecond, because that's really, it's impossible. It's impossible, the two things. Now, it could be, what's the machlokes? Machlokes a philosophical machlokes? Is it a metaphysical machlekes, whether two things can create the same change or do the same thing at the same time? Why yes, why not? It's not clear what the tzadim are. Could be that the machlekes is that it's impossible, taka, that should be in the same millisecond. And the chiddush over here is that something which is impossible to gauge to the millisecond, we see it in halacha as transpiring at the same instant. That means if lefi ro'is einenu, it looks like it's happening the same second, with somebody looking with a stopwatch, then we treat it as it happened the same second. Even though we know that in truth, they happened of, it had to be that they were a millisecond off from each other. So that's definitely a real way to explain this machlekes. The Gemara has a whole arichus. It's a Gemara here, it's a Gemara in Saita. Whether this machlekes of efshel etzamtim, efshel etzamtim, is only by things that are gomri b'dei shemayim, something that's a natural occurrence. So it's korov to not being shayich, that two things, like over here, yitzias uber, hoitzias roishoi, both of them should take place in the same millisecond. Since it's built the efshel, so then there's a mandama that holds no. So we say we treat them both together as happening simultaneously. All this tiny that even something which is a shinui b'dei odom, person did two maisim. For instance, in Maseches Sota, we have the sugis of Egla Rufa. So it would be Rachman al Tzlan, there was a mess, and his body was found equidistant between two cities. There are two cities, each of which is exactly 2 miles and 473 feet and 12 inches and 11 inches from each other. Again, Yev Shul Tzamtzim. If it's B'day Odom, it's not a natural occurrence. It's something somebody did there, we would say Efshel Etzamtzim. The Gemara is all back and forth. The Gemara comes out, no. Even B'day Odom, we say Efshel Etzamtzim. If it's to the point where it's impossible to gauge the difference between the two, there's a mandam that holds, we see the two as equidistant. Even if theoretically it would be impossible. And just to L'Sabes Oizen, we'll say over an idea from the Chazon Ish. Let's say we know an Esrik that has a black spot on the top is possible. The Chazon Ish says that the black spot that's defined as a black spot has to be something that's nearer l'einayim, the normal way of looking. That means you don't have to look at an esrig right next to your eye with a powerful jeweler's loop, like some people do. Why? That's not called seeing. I what it means there. If it's there, it's there. Something that can't be seen by the naked eye is not called there al pi halacha. It's like, let's say there's also an example of a famous controversy with bugs in the water that could only be seen microscopically. There were those that died it, that if it could only be seen microscopically, halacha treats it as a non-entity. Even though, what do you mean? Now you know, now that we have microscopes, we know that it's there. That's not the tzura of looking that halacha considers to be creating reality. So that is an interesting example of that type of noise. Now the Mishnah goes weiter. That means we're leaving off as a machloikis taka, whether we can say both of them, Haskarim Lashem, the Chacham hold, no, it's impossible. Therefore, you have to say Echad Loi V'Echad L'Koyim. We haven't yet been Mevar, according to the Chachamim, so what happens? What do we do? Echad Loi V'Echad L'Koyim. What's supposed to happen? Which one? So let's go back to Reb Tarfon Oimer, HaKoyim Boiru Lois HaYofa. It's a very interesting concept. There's two of them. One of them was born before the other. Reb Tarfon agrees that both of them are not Niskadish. One is and one is not. There's an assumption here that the one that was born first is the one that's stronger, hardier, pushed its way out quicker. So Melo, that assumption is enough to create a halacha. The Reb Tarfon says that the kohen is going to reach over and he'll take the yofa, the stronger of the two baby sheep, and he has a right to assume, and we have a right to assume, the kohen will take the one that's a bechor, and we'll say that's the one that goes Lashem, that's the one that's a korban. The other one, you could do whatever you want with it, you can shech, there's no shal of shchut echutz, and the one that's a korban, you could eat b'kedushas korban. No further questions necessary. Reb Akiva Oimer, mishamnim b'neim. Not so simple. Reb Akiva essentially is saying that we don't rely on that type of svara chitzoyna of koyim barilos hayofet to assume for sure. And Mameli, you're left with a Sufik. The interesting way of saying it, Mishamnim Benem, the Gemara explains what it means is the fat. One of the animals is stronger, has more fat to it. The other one is a weakling, is Shvacher. The fat of the two should be between, the fat of the behemoth should be between the two of them. What it really means is that you don't know what the din of the fatter one is. And therefore, in terms of mominus, if we would have this type of Mishnah, the Gabei Reuven sold Shimon something, and it's not sure which did he mean. Did he mean the better cut or the shvacher cut, the better sheep or the worse sheep? If there's a Hamoitzi Mechavel Varai situation, so the seller could say he's a Muxik, and he could hold on to it, and the buyer will be left, the Lechalavi Raias over here also. In terms of Dine Mominis, the Koyin could say Hamoitzi Mechavel Varai, and will only be able to take the shvacher one. However, it's Pashut, the Hamoitzi Mechavel Varai can only pass in this Din in terms of Dine Mominis, the Chayshu Mishpat. In Issa Veheta, there's a serious problem here. For the Yisrael to walk away with the better of the behemoths and to shecht it could very well be there's a 50% chance, or maybe even more. Maybe Reb Tafron is right, and it is mistaber that the one the Yisrael walked away with, the fatter one, belongs to him. It's just we can't be machriya the shiloh with that. Reb Tafron holds we could use that to make a decision, not look over our shoulders. Reb Akiva says you can't make that a decision. Therefore, you left Hamitz Machal V'Rai. The Yisrael walked off, arguably with the fatter of the two behemoths, but it's Gantz Mistaber that this is the one that's really the Bukhar. How can he shecht it? Therefore, Yirachi Yistoev, he has to become a Balmum, and that will make it into Psula Mekdashim, and there won't be a problem to eat it, because it's Psula Mekdashim, you could eat it. You'll still have the limitations of Giza, Vavoide, etc., that we had before, Legabi Psula Mekdashim. So that's what's going to have to happen. Really, there's a suffix here, and you can't be makel because of hachrois and dine mominus. And therefore, yirad shiistoiv, wait, graze it. This is a lashon that we're going to meet up with many times. Graze it, yiroah, ad shiistoiv. And yistoiv is a lashon of tumah. Chazal always use it for klapi a behema, that's a korban. Now it's any royal korban, it's called yistoiv, until it becomes a balmum. And the Mishnah adds another detail. But before I add another detail, we'll just speak out something important. This is really the psak din, even though the Mishnah only speaks it out. The Gabi, the one biyad Yisrael, for the one biyad Kohen also. Both of them have a problem. The one that's biyad Kohen, he can't go to the base of English to be makrivit as a korban, because maybe it's chulin. The one biyad Yisrael, he can't go home and make a barbecue, because maybe it's kachim. So both of them have to wait yirat shiistoev. Both of them eat them as balimum and psula magdashim with all the limitations therein. The Mishnah adds a piece now that happens to be only negated to the one biyad Yisrael. The Chayiv b'matonos. Since the Yisrael walked off of the behemoth, but we don't know for sure that it's chulin and he has a right to eat it as chulin, or really this is the one that should belong to the Kohen and it's after the Balmum, so he could eat it, but Lamaisa belongs to the Kohen. Vinishvi, the matonos of this behemoth, belong to the Kohen. If this is the behemoth that belongs to the Kohen, so the matonos certainly belong to him. The whole behemoth belongs to him. If it's chulin, so then it's a regular chulin, it's a regular second born. So mel the matonis belong. Rabbi Yosi Poiter, on that aspect, this is all b'shitzu b'kiva that's a sofik. It's all m'sham d'vinem, with resultant that we're left with a sofik. And because of that, there's a maman of shachayim matonis. On that, Rabbi Yosi argues, Rabbi Yosi holds that the sheep, which is nisha b'yad b'ilam, he walked off with the bigger, fatter one. It became a balmum. Now the balmum is eating it. He's not mechuyev to give matnas kuna. Why? We see over here a transactional piece. Remember, the Yisrael walked off of the behemoth that he thought was his. The Kohen walked off the behemoth that it's the only one he has the right to take. The Yisrael had the better of the two. The Yisrael walked off. The Kohen's left. They're both balimumin. The way we see it is that the Yisrael and the Kohen like sort of bought each other's chelik out, because that's what we're left with. So, Mela, we don't see the Yisrael as holding on to matonois that for sure belong to the Kohen. We see him on the tzad that the behemoth that he has is Kodesh. We see him that he bought off the chelik, the kahana. The Kohen's not supposed to get anything. Or the Kohen's only supposed to get the one that he has. So it's kilo they bought out each other's chalokim. The matonis in his behemoth, the one biyad Yisrael, he bought out. They're giving the Kohen the rest of the other behemoth, and therefore they cancel each other out, and therefore you can hold on to the matonis. Meis echod mehen. What happens if one of the animals, the two animals came out, we have a suffix which one, but one of them died. So there's only one behema here. Now it's a legitimate suffix. Is it a bechor or is it not? What do you do? You have a suffix in front of you. Pretend it's shnayim oichs and betalus, and we're learning a mishnah above mitzvah. When you have a suffix, what do? You make yachloiku. Now you can make yachloiku. It's yachloiku dinimamnis. So the behema will have to become a balmu. You're actually a stove because you have a suffix, and you'll have to eat the behema in its state of psula magdashim, and you'll divide by the barbecue, and the kohen with the yisrael will get half-half. Rabbi Kiva Omer, hamaitzi mechaveh olav haraya. The yisrael could hold on to the whole thing, and he could tell the kohen, go prove, I'm a muchzik, go prove that you have a yad here. Now, it's obvious that Reb Tarfon would not say this nekuda, lefi shitose hanau, that HaKohen Bar Yosei Ofer. If you have a right to make an assumption, which is the firstborn based on the size and the sturdiness of the behemoth, so then why would you say Achleku? You have Achro. So the Gemara speaks out that in actuality, Reb Tarfon was Matzir the Chiddush. Lemaisa, when Reb Kiva argued, Reb Tarfon was Choyzer on this Chiddush. So now he's left in the same default position of being a Sophic. So now, okay, in the safe, and now the Reb Tarfon was Choyzer. So what do we do, Taka Mesach and Mehem? So he has another Machlek, so he holds Achleku. Why Taka does he argue that Din Hametz Mechavel Varai? What's this Machlekes, Reb Tarfon and Reb Kiva? Reb Tarfon certainly does not argue on the basic principle of Hametz Mechavel Varai. He's not knocking off Gans Meseches Bov Metzien Bov Basra. So he says over here, Gans' explanation, in Ukimta, that we're talking about a case where Yisrael, the owner of the mother and the Vlodois, hired a Royet Soin, the one who's taking care of the sheep in his house, is a Kohen. And there's a machlokes over here as to some type of umdana that the Yisrael gives the kohen a certain muchzokus in the place. So now when the behemoths are born, we see the kohen also, the royet zoin, as a muchzik in the vlodos, the same way it's b'mokim ha-Yisrael. Or maybe not. Maybe we don't see a shaykh to the kohen. And remember, it's completely biyad ha-Yisrael, and he's the full muchzik. It's a really a zaitig of machlokes. Begidre, this type of royet zoin dikur relationship. That's machlokes here. The last case in the Mishnah is Zochor Nekevo, and kan lekoyin klum. Let's understand that. You have two behemoths that stuck their heads out at the same time. One's a Zochor, one's in a Nekevo. So here you have a very real suffix. It's not for sure that one of them belongs to the koyin or faket. Over here the shaila is maybe there's no chiv at all because if it's in a Nekevo, and then the Zochor is the second born. So there's a full-blown Hametz Mechavel Varaya. This is Lekuli Alma. And Memela, when you're left with the suffix, so what should the Yisrael do? He's a Muchzik in Chesh Mishbot, but as far as Issa V'het is concerned, for sure he can't check the Behema. So he'll have to do Yira Adshi Yistoyev, and then he'll eat it like Sulem and Goshen. Now, for starters, we don't mention Reb Tarfon Shita over here. L'chor Reb Tarfon should have the same Bar Yofa Mehem, and that's the one to assume is the Bechor. So the Gemara says that Reb Tarfon only said what he said, when there's a Vaday Bechor before Neinu, so then Reb Tarfon says, so make the Umdino that the Pashtus is, that the one that is the Bechor, where there is for sure a Bechor, is the one that's Yofa Benem, that's the one the Kohen takes. But where there's for sure no, there isn't for sure a Bechor, because the Zohar and the Kevah, so you have an outstanding Sovik. Reb Tarfon never held that the Hachro of Baru Yofa will take away a suffix. It's only if there's a vaday for sure, so which one is the vaday? That Reb Tarfon says you could be mavar, but not when there's an outstanding suffix. The other sheet that's not mentioned over here is Lechor Zochor Nekevo. There should be mention of the fact whether Efshel Tzamtzem and E-Efshel Tzamtzem. So on that, the Gemara has a whole shtickle. Not really in the Gemara, it's the Tzayant brings it from the Tosfos, and the Afyud Zayin, that if the Zohar and the Nekeva stuck their heads at the same time, this is Mechadish, that we don't say Schorim, we'd say both of them are Kaddish, so at least say Zohar and Nekeva, the Zohar is Kaddish. Nope, the Zohar won't have Kedusha. If the Zohar stuck his head out at the same time as something which is not Kaddish, namely a Nekeva, that's Mafkir Kedusha's Bechor from the Zohar, neither one of them has Kedusha, and then according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, in actuality, Ein kan lekoyin klum is kibshutoi. The Yisrael walks off with the behemah, neither has kedusha. He doesn't even have to wait for it to become a balmum. That's a chiddush of Taisus. The Pashas, you'll say the Zohar, yeah. But you have the same Hametzim Mechabel V'raya. Yeah, L'maisa. Maybe they stuck their heads out together, but maybe not. So therefore, one not. Hametzim Mechabel V'raya has to wait to be a Baal Mum. L'fi the Cheshma we just said from Tais, the Chiddush is that the Zohar also won't have, and then he doesn't have to wait for it to become a Baal Mum at all.